This is Crystal Disty with today's All You Ever Wanted to Know. The interview you are about to hear took place about a month ago. In it, Rhonda Louise and I discuss her song Brave Girl, which arose from her own experience with abuse. We would like to let you know that today's episode may be triggering for some listeners, as Rhonda and I both share openly some of our own experiences. If you know such topics may affect you or your household, feel free to turn us off for the next hour. To begin and end today's segment, we will be playing Rhonda Louise's song, Brave Girl. If you or someone you know is also a survivor of abuse, know that as you listen or not today, you are being lifted up in prayer. And now, Rhonda Louise with Brave Girl.
You can never dim that feeling.
Good morning. Crystal Disty here with you with All You Ever Wanted to Know. Today's guest is Rhonda Louise, a Canadian music artist that we have played previously here on The Rock. And in the last year, she has also released another album, Brave Girl. So she is here in studio today to talk to us about not only her music, but also some of the source and the journey that has brought her to these songs and the messages and just the way that God has met her in her life, specifically with health and wellness struggles, and how she has dealt with both struggling with that and then also how she has met Christ through it as well. So, Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Yeah, and what would you like to tell us about who you are, where you're from, and just kind of introduce yourself to us today?
Okay. I'm Rhonda Louise. I'm originally from Manitoba, but I met my husband, Peter, in Saskatchewan in a Bible school, and he was from Alberta. And so we got married, and we've lived in Alberta our entire marriage. It'll be 29 years next week.
Wow, congratulations.
So thank you. Yes, and so we have two boys. Mm-hmm. Lee is 23. He's engaged. He lives in Regina. So I was just in Regina for Jeannie's bridal shower.
Very nice. And, lots of big happenings.
Yeah, that is surreal. You know, you're in a different age bracket when you're a guest of the bride's future mom-in-law, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was a blast. We had so much fun. And then yesterday I helped my son Lee move into what will be their home together.
So excellent.
My younger son Adam is 20, and he is he's in university. He's just finished his second year, and he's studying math, economics, stuff I can't read.
Different language.
Totally, which is the same language as my husband. So they understand each other. Lee in Regina is a pastoral intern. And so, and he's got a very creative brain with writing music and making up his own productions. So we share that brain. But, I have these adult boys and a future daughter-in-law. I do have a day job in Calgary to help support the music ministry. That, actually, at the day job is where I wrote Beautiful Grace.
Mm.
I was, I do customer service.
Okay.
A lot. Definitely customer service.
Definitely grace needed in that
yeah.
realm.
It's some of the questions you just go, wow, okay, sure. But I was in our staff room, and it was roughly 2 years ago that I was really struggling to know how to forgive my abuser.
Mm.
Not just to heal for myself, but how does Jesus do this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do this. And then I realized that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I knew how to do that, I wouldn't need God. I wouldn't need his grace. I'm just me. And, you know, when Jesus hung there, he didn't just think of me. He thought of my abuser, too.
Yeah, and that's a really hard thing to face.
It is.
Yeah.
It would sometimes anger me. Mm-hmm. It would sometimes challenge me. So I realized I don't know how to do that. And when Jesus hung there and said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, I understood he got it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how to forgive them either. He said, you have to help me do this because this hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gave me a lot of comfort. And so it was sitting in my staff room thinking about how do I give grace to these customers while I'm still in my own pain? And how do I give grace to my abuser? And I learned that forgiveness does not mean letting go and forgetting.
Right.
That is not what it means. We're taught that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It means handing them and what they did over to Jesus.
Yes.
For him to have his final say.
Yeah.
And so whether they are dealt with in this life or in the life to come or both, that's God's call.
Mm-hmm.
And while some people might feel angered by that, I felt actually very relieved. Oh, good. Now I don't have to.
It can be very freeing. And as someone who's walked that road as well, I know even sometimes on the outside looking in, it's like other people are angry on your behalf.
Right.
And it's like, no, this is, I have a phrase that I use that it's not an excuse, but it is an explanation.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're all fallen and we all have our areas of pain and ways that we hurt each other. And we all need grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all God's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened was when Adam and Eve fell, not every offense happened that day.
Mm.
And God gave us, somehow in his perfection, he decided to give us our own free will. That blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That he knew, despite what he was going to do for us, he knew what we were going to do in return.
Mm-hmm.
And so just as he created me with my own brain and free will to make decisions, he did the very same thing for my abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put someone like myself who has not learned to value themselves, hasn't learned how to defend herself, how to think of herself, been taught that it's okay to say no and have some authority over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're put with someone who has taken his free will to the extreme. And he has lived that kind of lifestyle for so long that to him is now normal.
Mm.
That he will take advantage of the person who doesn't know how to defend themselves.
Yeah.
You've got the perfect storm.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way our life on this earth is.
Yeah.
And it won't change until we are in paradise with Jesus. And where everything is perfect, where we all are using the same brain as God, knowing fully what that means.
Yeah, and truly thinking with our hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just the perfect storm.
Yeah.
And so as difficult and as painful as it has been, it's been very healing. Now, not everyone has responded well because now that I have this confidence, I'm seen as stuck up. Oh, you put out a CD, you're a big singer, you think you can do what you want. Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I just have this confidence now. And if you are being hurtful, I am going to defend myself. If it's something minor or if it's something grand like this, I am going to defend myself with love.
Mm.
Okay, but And just because you forgive someone does not mean you have to spend time with them.
Right.
If they have a pattern of repeating abuse to you, whether that is emotional abuse where it's abandonment or if it's just any kind of verbal abuse or if it's physical abuse, sexual. If you've lived a life for so long where you're taught that you just need to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But that person hasn't been taught, no, now you need to go sin no more.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's difficult to explain. And so I knew releasing Brave Girl, I knew there were going to be people that would accept it and people who wouldn't.
Mm.
I knew that. And I knew I was going to face that backlash of, why have you embarrassed me, or why have you decided to release this part of yourself? It would be a lot easier to keep it in.
Mm-hmm.
But not really.
Yeah.
Because when you're living with it all by yourself, that is lonely. It's exhausting.
And heavy.
And heavy.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, I didn't want to tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to tell myself. See, a lot of people say, why didn't you do something?
Yeah.
Well, because I hadn't admitted it to myself yet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to admit it was that ugly and horrific and gross and shameful and all of those things.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go for help until I admit that it happened.
And I think, too, it's very easy to look at others and say, well, this wasn't as bad as that.
Oh,
so then
gosh,
then it doesn't count.
No, no, no. Look, we all arrive here today with a different set of genetics and experiences. I don't want to say levels of experiences, but just different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Like, you and I could have exactly the same thing happen to us, but we're both going to react differently.
Absolutely.
Because your genetic makeup is different than mine. Mm-hmm. The way you were raised to think about it is different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
All of that.
Yeah.
There are no two instances alike.
Yeah.
And so you've got this misconception. Like, I've reminded people, if you would not go to someone in military with PTSD to say, if you wouldn't go to them and say, you just need to get over this, please don't say that to me.
Yeah.
It's extremely insensitive. And when someone says, you need to get over this, it's really, they're only talking about themselves.
Because it's making them uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's making their life harder.
Yeah.
And it's a very selfish thing to say.
Absolutely.
But when I try and point that out, now I'm just seen as even more selfish. it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've learned that the church as a whole doesn't know how to respond to this.
Mm.
We really don't. Like, of course, I wasn't going to release this part of my life. Why? Who wants to?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it happened just about 5 or 6 years ago. And of course, I didn't want to admit that it happened. I got sick and had to stop performing for a few months and then needed surgery. And it was while I was in surgery for recovery for 8 weeks, that's when it really hit me. I had snippets of, wait a second, what happened?
Mm.
I've seen that guy without his pants on. That's not normal. Like,
yeah.
You know, it sounds stupid, but no. I mean, it was, I had just kind of dismissed it for survival.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these little snippets of memories, or I would smell something that brought me back to a moment, or I would see a guy's shoes that he wore that brought me right back.
Yeah.
I would hear a song that we worked on together and it would bring me back. And I would have to, like, those triggers and trauma, they're real.
Absolutely.
So when someone says, get over it, like, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had to admit it to myself, and I tried to just keep going, but my husband knew, you're not right. Like, what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. He was just unbelievably patient. He's a rock. His name's Peter, rightfully so. He was a rock. And I finally just had to tell him, hey, this is what really happened. Mm-hmm. And in his own anger and his own pain, he was willing to just walk with me at my pace.
Right.
He knew. She'll tell me stuff when she can.
Yeah.
And then when she wants to.
Yeah.
And I, of course, was not going to tell my boys. That's awkward and so, like, humiliating. And I don't want to make their life harder. But it was Mother's Day, and we were in my favorite cafe, and they gave me their cards, and it was, thanks for Mom for being such a good example of peace and all this. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I looked at them. I said, okay, Lee, you're going to be a pastor, and you're probably going to help people with this.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, you're probably going to know somebody, even if they never tell you.
Yes.
You might have a sense that that girl needs to be loved in a way that she's never had before.
Yeah. A way that's safe.
Yep. And this is what happened to your mom.
Yeah.
So we're in this cafe. It's bawling. And as awkward as it was so freeing because now they understood, oh, this is why Mom is just so different. They knew I was in counseling and they, you know, I had been in counseling for other things over the years over their illnesses and things. But so that wasn't out of the ordinary. But now they understood really what was going on. And I hadn't wanted to get back into music. I mean, why would I? If that's how the men are going to treat me?
Yeah.
Christians, non-Christians, it didn't matter. If that's how the guys are going to treat me, why?
Yeah.
I couldn't walk into my studio for, I think it was 8 months.
Mm.
I couldn't. My piano just collected dust like it. And I would talk about when I was a singer. And Lee would say, Mom, you still are.
Yeah.
And I would think, oh, man, you have no idea what I'm going through right now. But now that they knew, then they understood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had confided in my close friends, Rachel and Ashley, my friend Drew. He was a musician in the business and a guy I could trust. And I was going to leave it at that. And I, for the longest time, couldn't leave the house because I was so uncomfortable around men. I stopped going to church because I didn't want to be patted, hugged, touched in any way.
Yeah.
And that was tough. And again, I knew that not everyone would respond well. And sure enough, there were rumors that Rhonda had left Peter for that other guy that she plays with. I was like, what? Wow. Like, they don't even know us.
Yeah.
If someone has been missing from your church for a while, maybe they are just busy. Maybe they've started attending somewhere else. But if you truly want to know how to, you know, be there for them, go to them.
Absolutely.
Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? That's all they want.
Yeah.
And if they want to tell you, they'll tell you. And if they don't want to, they'll say thanks for your concern.
Yeah.
You know, that was hard. Again, the church doesn't know how to respond. And so I made myself a bracelet with little beaded letters that spelled brave.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind myself to be brave when I left the house.
Right. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Grocery store, pumping gas. I was on tour with my friend Rachel, and I got out to pump gas. And this guy came up to me at the tank, at the pump, and said, hey, are you a good girl? Out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I got back in the car. I just bawled. Rachel prayed with me. We took pictures of the guy's license plate.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy's going to follow me.
Yeah. And it takes something where someone who hasn't walked this road and lived through this type of thing would go, eh, that's like kind of creepy, whatever. But when you have been through that kind of trauma, the trigger goes soul deep. You get rocked.
If you've had a burn on your skin before, you know how much that burn has hurt. Mm-hmm. If someone, or if you've had an open wound, mm-hmm. you know how long that takes to heal.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone comes and does something similar to what you were going through, that wound has now been ripped right open all over again.
Yeah.
And you have to start reapplying your, you know, your bandages and every, it just sets you back. And now you've got to refocus, regather your confidence.
Yeah.
That alone is hard.
And as you were saying before, you know, sometimes it's not even done intentionally or maliciously.
Yeah.
You know, it's just even someone just patting your shoulder. My husband actually had a skin graft and it was on his arm.
Right.
And so, you know, some people, you know, they come up and they do the two-handed shake where one hand shakes and the other one pats your arm. And he was like, it almost dropped him to the ground because people would forget because it was bandaged and under the shirt. They'd forget that it was there.
Right.
But he couldn't.
And, you know, with him, he probably told close friends, hey, just so you know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
In this, nobody's telling anybody.
No. Yeah.
And so you want to scream, hey, by the way, this is what happened. I prefer you not say that. But you can't.
No.
And then you're mad at them for being insensitive, and they don't know why you're mad at them. And then they get angry for being judged, and they're like, it's a whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. It was really tough not going to church and not going for family functions, not going for dinners. Like I had to stop going to a certain person's house because my husband would say, okay, you can't hug Rhonda. When she comes in, just say hi, thanks for coming. Don't hug her. Mm-hmm. But they insisted, that's just what we do.
Yeah.
And so I had to stop going.
Yeah.
And they got all upset, and I can't explain to you why.
Yeah.
Can you just accept that and respect me in it? It was just so hard because it just added to the shame of it, right? And so I made this bracelet just to be brave, and I was on a hike. I do a lot of hiking, and the hike name was called Paradise, which while I was on the trail, I realized that's my second CD's title, Paradise. Mm. And I thought of the song Paradise that I wrote. I shook the dust from my shoes, and now I feel renewed. To get here, I had to go through Paradise. Mm. So I'm on this hike, and I'm sitting on this bench overlooking the foothills and the Rockies, and I was just bawling, thinking about that, right in the beginning of this pain. And I'm bawling. I'm like, God, this bracelet's not enough. Like, I know that. I'm not into charms.
No.
It was just a reminder, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt God say, you need to write yourself a song. Yourself a song for a change. You've written plenty for other people. So I took the bracelet off and hung it on a tree. And it's still hanging there somewhere, rusted and overgrown probably. And I still have the notes on my phone. I took a voice memo of all these things about being brave. And songs have taken anywhere between 20 minutes and 2 weeks to write. Brave Girl took about 5 months. Because what can you say?
Yeah.
What can you say without being so graphic? And yet, how do I describe this without going so far?
Yeah.
But yet still getting the point across.
And I imagine it was very confronting, too. I mean, you would have had things that it's like, okay, I just wrote this line. Now it's on paper. That makes it real. Now I've got to sit here and wrestle with this thing.
The line, his face, his voice, his scent, it's all there.
Yeah.
That initially was a whole verse on its own.
Yeah.
Describing his scent.
Yeah.
Describing his voice. And I was like, oh, man, that really did happen.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it was written, 5 months later, I had been in counseling weekly at this point. December of 2018, I guess it was, through till August 2019, I had been in counseling weekly. And so by this point, I was now much more confident in myself. I was more comfortable in my own skin, able to be out in public more, reattending church, still distant with most people. I would go for hikes or coffees with my two close friends, but that was it. I was not socializing. But I was looking at those lyrics, and I initially wanted to record it as a demo just for myself, but I knew this song needs to go out. I have a very supportive, patient husband that in his own anger was able to help me through this. And through his work, I was able to go through counseling at a much lesser fee with his benefits. And I knew there were women and girls that have neither.
Yeah.
And they've been walking around with this pain that that they've never been able to explain to themselves.
Let alone anyone else.
Let alone anyone else. And I knew they need to know someone else gets it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that I'm completely healed. It doesn't mean that I don't get uncomfortable around guys. There's a man in my workplace that I see regularly who could be my abuser's brother. And it's... The joke's been, well, you have to ban him from your workplace. I'm like, well, we can't do that. It's not that guy's fault.
Yeah.
But it's just, my boss knows if you can't find Rhonda, she's probably in the bathroom having a moment.
Yeah.
She'll be okay. She'll come out. And that's the other freeing thing, too, being able to explain that to my boss, who's been so kind.
Yeah.
About it, then they understand. I was able to be given a mask exemption. I've been muzzled.
Yeah.
And so having something strapped to my head.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. I tried.
Yeah.
But when I really, again, just admit that to myself, that reopened that part of that wound. And I went to my doctor and got the exemption. But again, I was constantly judged and criticized and questioned and treated like a diva that I didn't have to wear this mask. And I thought, if you only understood.
Yeah. And the really hard part is that there are some people in our lives who, even if we somehow find the courage and find the words, they'll still never understand.
And that's okay.
Yes, because we have to allow them to travel their journey.
Right.
But it's still a hard place to be. And that's where, you know, you kind of, I imagine you've had a lot of relationships that, you know, like you said, you've had places where you've had to just stop going and some relationships that you've had to maybe let go.
Yeah. That's where I am now. and they are angry, but they just don't see that their response has been hurtful. Well, we'll just leave Rhonda alone, except now I feel alone.
Mm.
As if I didn't feel bad about myself already, now I feel worse. Mm-hmm. Am I that ugly to look at, right?
Yeah.
Am I that hard to be around just because you're not comfortable with me anymore, you know? Again, we as a church need to learn how to respond better. Please stop asking me what I was wearing. Doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
No one asks for this in any way, shape, or form.
No.
There is no justification.
No. Otherwise, that means any guy could go out to any beach and do whatever he wants with anybody.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No. Somehow we've wrapped around our heads in this mentality that women have brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
Ever since Jesus confronted that woman who was being stoned,
mm-hmm.
no one talks to the guy.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Yeah.
Why didn't you leave? What were you wearing? All of those questions don't matter.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
So if and when a woman or girl has finally had the courage to share herself and that ugly side of her life with you, your only response has to be, I'm so sorry. You did not call for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can I do to be a support to you?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you. If they say, I don't know, then you say, okay.
Let me know when you do.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
Let's go for coffee. You tell me what you need.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you about it.
Right.
Because maybe you are having a really good day and you don't want to be reminded of it. So when you want to bring it up and confide in me with anything, I'm willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, let's just have some fun and enjoy what we know of each other.
Yeah. Some days, you need to think about anything else.
Oh, yeah.
And some days you need to process. And especially, when you're just in the first stages of this whole process, that can change from 1 minute to the next, and you have no warning.
No
so
warning.
It's just
those
such,
triggers are real, man.
And it's such a struggle to even get your own mind wrapped around what's happening mm-hmm. inside you and figuring all that out, and then finding a way to express that to someone else when you're still just figuring it out and wrestling with it yourself.
And that's why counseling is so important, because they are trained to know how to listen in a way to guide that conversation.
Yeah. And make whatever needs to be expressed, make that space sacred and safe for that.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not going to ask you what you were wearing.
No.
they're going to say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
For me, I've had multiple men abuse me. One in particular was way and above worse than the rest. But I found myself out loud in anger asking my husband, what keeps attracting these guys?
Mm.
Why do I keep attracting these kinds of guys? And then it terrified me. I'm like, wait a second, there's a pattern here.
Mm.
Friends ask, may I ask why you didn't leave?
Hmm.
May I ask, come on, Rhonda. And I knew they were coming from love. And yet, I answered them. I said, this is why I'm in counseling. I'm trying to figure that out. And now I know why. But
And one of the things is that fear can be paralyzing.
Yeah. Why I didn't leave the house. Why I didn't go to church.
Yeah.
I didn't go for family dinners. I walked around the corner from my house to go check the mail, and there was a guy out walking his dog. It creeped me out. I had to turn and go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Just little, like...
Yeah, yeah. And you couldn't necessarily explain it to someone else, like...
No.
Well, what's wrong with that guy? He's just walking his dog, and they wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something.
Yeah, and again, because I've shared this story, and my coworkers knew, oh, cool, she's doing another CD. I can't wait to hear it. And I'm thinking, you have no idea what's on this thing. Like, this is really going to be interesting to see how everyone responds. And sure enough, it got released, and everybody was quiet. And I expected that because they didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I knew that they were going to be uncomfortable. But much later, when a customer at our workplace approached me in anger and about not wearing a mask. And my coworkers knew why I wasn't wearing one. A few select knew why. Mm-hmm. They saw this woman come in and rant about people not wearing masks. And the one guy went, "Where's Rhonda? We got to find her because we got to protect her."
Yeah.
They found me. And next thing I knew, I had five of them around me while the security guard was chasing after this woman. And I out loud, I just found myself saying, "What am I supposed to do? Say I've been muzzled and I have an exemption? Like, come on." And the ones that knew about it, they were being comforting. The ones that didn't know, they just stood there in shock. Like, I'm like, "Oh, Rhonda, now you're making it uncomfortable for everybody, but in a good way, right?"
Yeah.
"Okay, guys, here it is."
Yeah.
"This is what it's really like for some people."
Yeah.
But it was so comforting to know I had that backup. The funny thing is I never applied for this job. God knew I needed those people. I was working a totally different job, without going into too much of where I work, but where I work now, the manager would come to me because I was in his workplace regularly with my other job. And he said, "Why don't you just work here?" Hmm. And I said, "I don't already have a job." He goes, "Do you though?" Mm. He would tease me. And he bugged me so often. So finally, I went and filled in an application just to shut him up. 3 days later, they phoned me, "Hey, can you come for an interview?" I said, "I'm across the city, like I'm an hour away." And he's like, "I don't care. We know you." And I went for the interview just for protocol, filled in the application just for protocol.
Yeah.
And they gave me the job. And I texted my husband, "I'm not coming home quite yet. I have a new job and I have to go buy clothes for it." And he's like, "What?" And this was when I had already quit the business. What did I need more money for?
Mm.
But God knew, no, eventually you're going to want to record again for some miraculous reason. And you're going to need a lot of money for that.
Yeah, it doesn't just happen.
Oh, no.
You don't.
Recording
you,
is.
You don't get fairy godmothers.
It's a business.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a ministry. But again, like any other ministry, it costs money.
Yeah.
And I have not spent this much on it. But any Christian CD that you see in Blessings, or not Blessings, Scott's Parable or a Christian bookstore, they've probably spent $20,000 minimum. The big names, they've probably spent $100,000 minimum.
Just to get those on
just
the shelves.
Just to get those, to sell it at 99 cents per song on iTunes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is why we have day jobs.
Yeah.
So God knew you're going to need a lot of money. So next thing I know, I'm in this job that's actually paying me really, really good money. And I start recording in December 2019. We did our demos in December 2019 through beginning of March. And then I was going to go on tour like a lot of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID shows up.
Yeah.
Wasn't that fun?
It was something.
Like everybody went, "What?
Yeah.
I can't go to work? I can't what?" But I was able to keep working.
Mm.
And I asked my producer, Mark, like, "What are we going to do?" He goes, "Well, we'll get the guys in, the instrumentalists early. We'll get them in early. Mm-hmm. They'll set up. They'll do their thing. You'll come in once they're set up. Wave high. We'll record. We'll keep our distance." Yeah. And that's what we did. Lysol wipes were like everywhere.
Yeah.
On the door, bathroom doorknob, like everything.
Yeah.
And we made it work. And had I not come to Mark, my producer, with that schwack of money, he's got a wife, two kids, and one on the way going, okay, no one's touring.
Yeah.
No, if they're not working day jobs, there's no money for recording. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
But God knew, no, Rhonda's coming. She's got every dime saved up for this because I put that day job in there for her.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah.
And when we were done recording in July of 2020, we just looked at each other and went, wow.
We just did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Mark knew his mortgage was paid for the next X number of months. His wife and kids were taken care of because Rhonda was provided for to come in and help. And God knew I needed Mark in his personality, in his respectfulness, in his deep Christian faith. Mm-hmm. We needed each other. I needed a producer that was respectful, kind, willing to listen. I never met him before. I just knew of his name.
Mm-hmm.
I was on tour. I had met two different artists that had worked with him who did not know each other. Both said, had you ever worked with this guy in Calgary? And I looked at my roadie, Rachel, and I said, that's a sign. Like, I need to call this guy. Mm-hmm. And he was in Calgary. Perfect. And I'd gone to him. He's we'd never met. And he goes, so what kind of record do you want to do? I'm like, oh, boy. Okay, so I have this song called Brave Girl, and this is why I wrote it. 3 hours later, I went home going, this guy's not going to want to do a record like Brave Girl. And he had gone home to his wife going, boy, this is going to be a deep one.
Yeah.
But we knew it had to happen. Mm-hmm. And when the restrictions came in, I said, what are we going to do? He goes, Rhonda, you still need to do this. It has to go out.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, because especially now when kids aren't able to go to school and go to that safe place away from mom and dad.
Yeah.
Women aren't able to go to work and they're stuck at home with their abuser.
Yeah.
This message has to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed. And so we did what we could within our provincial regulations. And it worked.
Because God makes straight paths in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our very last day of recording, I realized what I was putting up. Like, this is going out there. And this, before I put it out, I'm going to have to call my family and my husband's family just so you know this is what's coming out and why. And I looked at Mark and I went, am I nuts? Like, he said, no, you know, Rhonda, like you know this is going to work. And with the confidence that I had been able to regain by that point, I knew it would work.
Yeah.
And it would be a challenge afterwards of responding to those who are not responding well. That's still a challenge. Mm-hmm. But anything in ministry, there's always going to be someone that doesn't agree with what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus started his ministry. He went to his hometown because who else is going to listen better?
Except,
you know,
yeah.
They didn't like what he had to say.
Yeah.
And he was.
Who do you think you are?
Right.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, this is his hometown. So this is people, his brothers and sisters, his former classmates, neighbors. Yeah. Who do you think you are? And it became so dangerous. He had to leave.
Yeah.
Him being God in the flesh, he could have stayed and made it happen and explained and explained and explained until they understood him. Mm-hmm. But he knew that's not going to happen. I don't have to stay and explain myself to you. I've told you who I am.
Do and now you're you responsible for your response.
That's right. And he left.
Yeah.
He just left. He shook his dust from his shoes and he left. And he went to where he knew his father would use him. Mm-hmm. And so that, I take comfort in that, that he knew, I know he's been there too. And it's okay.
Well, this has definitely been a little heavier for our All You Ever Wanted to Know. But you know what? That's exactly why we're here.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
And this is the bravery that God has given you, mm-hmm. and it is a gift, and I am so thankful for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that you're here and that I got the pleasure to talk to you today.
Wow.
And if people want to hear more of your music mm-hmm. and see more of your journey and, mm-hmm. and some of the things, some of the other struggles that you've been through as well, mm-hmm. where can they go for that?
The easiest would be to go to my website, rhondalouise.net. I do have my updates on there, but I also have my social media links. So I have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. I have all of those links on my website, and it'll go directly to my pages.
Excellent.
You can follow them that way.
Nice and easy.
Very.
Awesome.
My husband does the technical side of things. He made it very easily. So yeah, rhondalouise.net.
Excellent.
I would love to hear how maybe I've encouraged them, but I would like them, you know, if they've got questions too, I'm with you. Mm. We're still going through it together.
Well, and thank you. Thank you so much again for your message and your courage and for being with us today. So again, today for All You Ever Want to Know, we have been here talking with Rhonda Louise, just her sharing her testimony and her story of just some of the things that God has brought her through and the message that he has given her to share. So thank you. And as always, enjoy the rest of your day and stay safe. Thank you.
try to forget his face, his voice, his scent, his ways, and now yet it's all there. Uninvited, unwelcome, he came to you. You froze in shock and fear, and all you could do was pray. And try as you might,
striving.